time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Oh, we got ourselves a heater today for Thursday, the 9th of July. Kind of apropos that it's the hottest day of the summer. I guess you could do a correlation there if you wanted to. Let's begin, shall we? Joining us, the Queen's Park reporter for the Globe and Mail, Laura Stone. Hello, Laura.
Hey, how's it going?
I am well. Have we got Bill yet, or are we still waiting for him? We're awaiting Bill Carroll from the Bill Carroll Show, Fridays at noon, host of the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa. And there he is. How are you, Bill?
Good to be here.
So
sorry to be a little late
about
for the party.
Not at all, my friend. There's lots
I was doing a speaking engagement for WE and
How much
you know, going to the check was so heavy, it took me a while to get to the bank.
I mean, I guess, yeah, the latest to that now is Sophie Trudeau being given $1,400 back in 2012. Laura, what are your thoughts on that? We know what Bill thinks.
Well, look, I mean, this is the story that, you know, you pull one thread and it just slowly starts to unravel. And I don't think that this will be the last of it. The speaking fees for Margaret Trudeau, which are in more than $200,000, I think that is going to be the figure that really causes a lot of pain for this prime minister, and the fact that they initially denied that anyone from the family had gotten money from this charity or an organization associated with it. Look, we've talked about this before, and it's the most self-inflicted wound controversy we've seen yet. And there have been many from this Liberal government. I just don't understand what they were thinking. I don't know why the prime minister didn't recuse himself from any discussions having to deal with WE Charity. And of course, now you have every reporter in Ottawa and elsewhere digging into this. So it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, Bill, how do you make sense of the statements that are all coming out and the timeline here? How would you explain that to people?
Well, you know, it certainly makes sense that we didn't really mean to charge it to this particular arm of our charity. What we did was we charged it over here, and it should be charged. I mean, it's all just mumbo jumbo after you did what, you paid who, how much money while taking government money without competing with anyone for the contracts. I mean, first of all, let's start with the fact that these pigs at the trough actually charge money to charities. When you're trust fund babies and wives and mothers of a prime minister, a wealthy Canadian, powerful family, that you take money in the first place. I cannot count how many charity events I've spoken at or I've emceed, and I've never charged a penny because it's a charity. God bless you if you think my name and presence can get a few extra people in and a few extra bucks. I am happy to donate my time. Now, I know some people who get paid, they pick up honorariums, fine, make our own choices. But when you're a political family like this, it is disgusting that they take a penny, let alone $250,000. Then at the same time, it's a charity that the Trudeaus are using their power in government to funnel all kinds of money towards. I mean, if this one doesn't sink them, really, I don't know what does. It's just, people can really understand this now. You look at it and go, wow, your family is personally now enriching itself. That's a line that you shouldn't cross.
And that's a great
point. I just wanted to jump in. I think that's a really good point from Bill, that maybe the SNC-Lavalin had to do with deferred prosecution agreements and justice minister, and it got a little complicated, right? It was a pretty complex thing. I mean, you could understand it on a base level, but it got pretty into the weeds. This one does, and everyone in Canada has pretty much heard of WE. So it does have that mass appeal that you maybe haven't seen from prior quote-unquote scandals touching this government.
Oh yeah, 100%. You could be sitting at your dinner table tonight or in the backyard with a teenager talking about WE Day, and you would say, hey, what's WE Day? Oh, Mom, Dad, you know what WE Day is. It's that thing they do every year, and my school raises money, and we look at environmental issues, and we raised $1,000 that year, so six of us got to go. It was down at Air Canada Centre at the time. Demi Lovato was there, one of the Jonas Brothers, so it becomes super eye level for people so quickly, not to mention that the Kilbergers are on all of the chat shows. They've been on Oprah. They're certainly the faces of the organization. And this, and you mentioned, I think you nailed this too, Laura, when you said, you know, this is, we unravel one string, right? So now we're going to be able to look at, you know, all of this. But I have a question for you. Maybe I'll start with you, Bill. And I was talking with Reshmi about this during our last break. Is this one of those things with the Prime Minister when, you know, I heard Evan saying today, or Jim Richards saying today, rather on the show, Graham, that, you know, you would think after SNC-Lavalin, you would think after the first Ethics Commission that you would start treading lightly, but really, if anything, it's more of a double down. Is this learned political behavior that has sort of gone on, you know, since the very beginning for this Prime Minister, that this is the way we do things?
I think it's the ultimate privilege, right? I mean, that guy can go out and take a knee all he wants, but this is a guy who was born into privilege. No one has ever said no to him. He was idolized in his own country. Man, I remember going up on Parliament Hill for One Canada Day. Worth doing once in your life as a Canadian? Don't do it twice, but it's chaos. And he was still a rock star at that, like stopping, holding everything up for hours as everybody came to just try to get close and touch him. And so, you know, this is his whole life. He just thinks he's above it, I guess. And he's gotten away with it so many times now, slapped on the wrist. Private island? Who cares? SNC-Lavalin? Whatever. Gets reelected anyway. And here we are, you know. And the fact that it's the Kielbergers and we just adds another element to me. Like, it's bad enough my kid's school took them there to be brainwashed to these stupid WE conferences. But of all the organizations, boy, I'm happy to see them getting slapped down on this one at the same time.
Laura, do you think it speaks to privilege as well?
I think it, I don't know if it, well, certainly the Prime Minister comes from a privileged background. I mean, there's no dispute over that. I think there is something here that what his critics would call sanctimony. And you can even see from the Prime Minister's office statement that came out about this, which is just, I think there is just a belief from the Prime Minister and his closest advisors or those who surround themselves with, surround him, that they really feel like they are doing the right thing. And they think that their actions are above reproach. And I don't know if it's privilege or just you have got blinders on, but I think it's kind of sanctimonious.
I think you're onto something that really strong too. There's this idea that because I consider myself to be a liberal person and I'm on the right side of the issue, then my particular behavior is not as important as the fact that overall, look, I'm on the right side of the issue. So, you know, forgive me if I tell the odd inappropriate joke at a party or paint my face black because I'm on the right side of the issue. I think there is a big part of that. Sanctimony is a great word for it.
Now, is this also one of those things that we touched on this with Mariko Walsh earlier, Laura, that, you know, with the Trudeau government having a minority government, it was a lot easier to just not let the investigation continue, right? It was a lot easier to sort of put the brakes on things, to stall things. Is this one of those things that's not going to go away anytime soon?
I think it makes it a lot more difficult. And Marika's done some great work on this story, including the committee. I'm sorry, I can't remember which one, but a parliamentary committee voting to access some documents. And because the Liberals no longer have a majority, it's much more difficult for them to slap this stuff down. So yes, they need cooperation from the other parties in order to do anything. And it's a lot more difficult to slap things down when you're in a minority parliament situation. So it does seem more troublesome for them. You know, that said, I really do view this as, this is going to be a ballot box issue, right? I mean, I don't think there's any way for anyone to remove the Prime Minister from office over something like this. It's just going to kind of add to the narrative, the history, and the way people view the Prime Minister and this Liberal government, in building on everything that's happened before, that will matter. And maybe it will and maybe it won't.
Laura, thank you so much for the magic words that I want to present to Bill. Those are, of course, ballot box. Who's going to be running against this guy and who's going to be strong enough to take this government down? Is there anybody out there, Bill?
Well, he's lucky, right? It's really interesting. I'm watching my social media and the people yesterday who were attacking Andrew Scheer for not wearing the mask in public, by the way, just wear the damn mask. Like, it's an easy one. Yeah. But, you know, was that piling on a bit? Maybe. Was it the most important question of the day, given the fact that he's kind of irrelevant and no longer leader, really? You know, I don't know. We could debate that one all day, but that certainly helps Justin Trudeau. But those same people now they're taking the same position. Well, this isn't news with all that's going on right now in our country. How is this news? Wait, Andrew Scheer was news. This is definitely news. And you know, the world in turmoil could actually have helped him if it wasn't the kind of turmoil that has left so many people out of work. struggling, right? Just trying to get by. Then you look at this family and you think, wow, you know, he's got a beautiful home paid by the government. He's got his mother and his wife packed away in a cottage in Harrington Lake. And life is really good for these people, but they still keep taking anyway. They just keep taking. And the charity that pays them gets paid back with our dollars. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but I mean, a ballot box issue. Yeah, let's get into it, because the last election, you know, as a brown person, I was asking a lot of questions about brown face. And what I heard in newsrooms, on the street, around the kitchen table was, yeah, but who else is there? But we're in the middle of an election. Well, come on, which direction should the country go in? Yeah. It was, you know, the opportunity is here to offer another option. Is anyone doing that?
Yeah. Well, I'm not convinced the conservatives will, but I guess we'll see. They have a way to shoot themselves in the foot every time, right?
And that's an excellent question. And maybe, Laura, you can speak more to this, you know, because I've been sitting here in the chair, you know, reading the story for the last 4 hours. We've been talking about it for a couple of hours previous as it kind of broke earlier this afternoon. Not hearing a lot of opposition speak. I'm not hearing a lot of statements from other politicians, from other parties. Is this the info gathering, come out with our messaging tonight, period? What's going on there?
Oh, I think the conservatives have reacted pretty quickly to this. And I think Peter McKay, I certainly saw a tweet from him on this issue.
I mean, it's interesting, actually, right? So I'm going to look him up again.
Oh, sorry, I thought I saw something. I thought I saw a Peter McKay tweet on this. But look, I think, like, Rushmi brings up a great point. I mean, when the brown face or the black face scandal erupted in the election, I mean, I think that a lot of people looked at that as Justin Trudeau hanging on by a thread. I mean, how could he survive this after everything that he's stood for? And he did. And there comes a point in politics when the tide just turns. You saw it in 2015 with Stephen Harper. And at some point, it is going to happen for this prime minister. But it all depends on what's happening in the world, who he's up against. And you really cannot predict what's going to happen in X number of years. And whether this is, you know, the nail in the coffin, or if this is just another thing that he can surmount.
I think if I'd been him, I would have been trying to call an election as early as possible by using the excuse, you know, let the conservatives pick their leader and then say, look, I need a mandate with the deficit we're in to continue to fight this pandemic. I need a strong mandate. We're going to the polls. I think he might have been thinking about doing that. He can't do that now. There's just no way, because this is going to hang around for too long. So that changes those plans. At some point, the government will be brought down and this will hang over him. No doubt. There's no doubt in my mind it will. Finally.
Peter McKay tweeted half an hour ago, it's absurd Trudeau did not recuse himself from decisions involving an organization having direct financial relations with his family. That was yesterday's news, guys.
I see.
It's so easy to do, though.
I actually see the Bloc Québécois leader is demanding that Trudeau step aside and deputize Freeland to lead the government until the WE affair is cleared up.
Worst thing that could happen to the Conservatives, she could win. She's someone a conservative can like.
That's true. The Conservatives might just want him to keep hanging on. But yeah. Anyways, he has to work with another party, right? So the Bloc has been one of their allies, so we'll see what happens.
Bill, looking forward to your show tomorrow. It's going to be a heater. Thank you so much for joining us.
I'm looking forward to it, too.
I can imagine. Laura Stone from the Globe and Mail as well. Great job, guys. Thank you so much for the chat. We appreciate it.
We'll be right back with more of this encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.